Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
And welcome to Here for the Right Reasons, Us Weekly's Bachelor podcast. I am your host, Sarah Herron, and we have a lot to unpack, as always, as Joey heads into the fantasy suites. Here to break it all down with me, returning guest, Us Weekly senior writer, Shelby Stavali. Hi, Shelby.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you so much for having me back.
I'm so happy you're here. I feel as though Fantasy Suites is always a big episode. And I also think that the last couple Fantasy Suites episodes over the last couple seasons on The Bachelor specifically, they haven't really been doing it for me.
I agree.
They really, Zach with Sex Week, Clayton with sleeping with half of them and telling them all.
Yeah.
Was a lot. And this felt like an old school classic Bachelor overnight date. We alluded to something going on. We had breakfast. We cuddled in bed, we saw the shoes on the floor, but we didn't explicitly, say too much. And I felt like they were saying too much. Even though we all know what happens, I didn't like the way Zach was calling it Sex Week. I didn't like the way Clayton was openly sleeping with all of them. Like, this felt pure and, a lie, but, still good,
I agree. I think it's just kind of like how Joey's season is playing out as a whole. It's really reminding me a lot of Ben Higgins' season, and I know you said that to him in the beginning of the season when you interviewed him, and I feel like that was the core of Bachelor, so I'm happy that we kind of made our way back that way.
Yeah, I know. It's so stupid, because again, we know what probably happens in the fantasy suite, but it felt dirty and weird and awkward for them to be so explicit about it.
Yes.
And it's like, let's remember this airs primetime ABC. Like, let's show me the heels on the ground. Show me the bacon making. Let me decide myself what I think happened.
Yeah, Joey's poor egg cracking.
Oh, someone teach this man how to crack an egg.
Yeah.
He cannot crack an egg.
Yeah.
Well, we're jumping ahead here, but the cold opens have been another highlight, in my opinion, of the season. And this one was the we need to talk note being left and the declaration that Joey's worst nightmare might be coming true. Now, when you saw the cold open and before you knew it was Kelsey A., What did you think was going to go down? Who did you think wrote this note?
I did think it was Kelsey A. I'm not quite sure why, but I did think it was Kelsey A the whole time. So I'm happy that that came out to be correct.
And as you were saying before we started recording, it was just giving you Jersey Shore flashbacks.
Oh, yes. I was saying who wrote the note the entire time in my Sammy Sweetheart accent.
Which is so important.
Yes.
Well, this is the type of place where I want to get engaged was something that both Daisy and Kelsey repeated several times, and it was a great plug for the Dreams to Lumen Spa.
Yes.
This is not one, but I would love to go to the Dreams to Lumen Spa if you're listening. And just right off the bat, it set up this big discrepancy between Rachel and Daisy and Kelsey A.
I could not agree more.
Like, they showed both Daisy and Kelsey A several times talking about how their ring finger feels empty, how they're ready to get a ring on it. Get engaged. And then Rachel immediately just being like, I think I'm behind. And I did think it was interesting that she knew, because a lot of times they don't know.
Yeah, I feel bad for Rachel this entire date. There's a lot of reasons why, but mostly just it's kind of a sad edit for her. And I feel bad thinking about her going back and watching it, because it's like, you're definitely not as far along as the other two women, and it shows. And, doing hers first probably wasn't the best idea, but, it is what it is, I guess.
We never know the real order, but if it did happen this way, I almost feel like if Rachel didn't go first, Joey would have canceled hers. If he said, I love you, or if I'm falling in love with you, to both Kelsey A and Daisy, I almost feel like he wouldn't have even gone on the third one, with Rachel because he would have felt like a pit about it and knowing he was not there with her. Whereas her going first, it gave like her a chance, I guess. But there, it's weird because I do think we're probably missing something between the two of them. There's a reason she's in the final three. We kind of see this little like baby voice, silly little like joking between them sometimes, which like kind of makes me uncomfortable, but gives us a little insight to, okay, I guess they like have a comfortability with each other. And when they're like joking back and forth, but also it just, it's nothing against Rachel. It's just, it doesn't, the other two have so much chemistry with him.
Well, she kept saying that she's a goofy girl and she kind of kept making me think like maybe she's just in a silly, goofy mood. It was giving like Friends vibes the whole time. As someone who's been friend zoned a lot in my lifetime, I fear for Rachel getting friend zoned at the end of this whole situation.
Yeah, the leads also usually do come out and say like a lot of times they bring someone along who like they just have fun like joshing around with. I kind of felt like that could have been Maria, but then I guess him and Maria did have a lot of like sexual tension at some points, but then they also gave me friend vibes sometimes. So Joey, I think, is just maybe really nice. And that's why he has like a little bit of a connection with everyone.
I think he is very nice, but what I would have given for a Maria fantasy suite date.
I know. If she didn't pull that, like, I'm threatening to quit, I think she would have gotten it, but I don't think you could get over that.
No, I agree 100%.
On Rachel's date, you know, he's kind of like giving her this tease about wild animals and yada yada, and then it ends up being the leap of faith date. And I feel so bad for Rachel that she takes a leap of faith and ends up in the hospital for an x-ray because she thinks she like broke her jaw.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say because it was just a very horrifying moment. I had written down like a joke about this, about her attire. Not sure if that's the bathing suit I would choose to take jumps like that.
Well, she didn't know.
True. That, you know what? That's true. I'll give it to her. But like terrifying from the jump, no pun intended. And then this injury happened where I felt really upset. And I was thinking myself in her shoes, would I also be saying, I'm fine. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I would have played it the same way, 100%.
I know. I feel really bad for her because one, you're like, you're in Tulum, Mexico. You're with a bunch of people you don't know, these producers that have been playing head games with you.
Yeah.
You got Joey, who you know you're behind. You're going in like, I'm in third place and I'm trying to like impress this guy and give myself a shot. And then you have it in your head that you like ruined this elaborate date when like in all actuality, girl, like Joey didn't plan this for you. The Bachelor producers did.
Yeah.
And now you're waking up, not waking up, but like in this hospital in a like foreign place and have to trust the Bachelor to like be your support. So like, I understand why she had that breakdown later on. I think she tried so hard to keep it together to say I'm fine and then, you know, lost it a little bit in the hospital. You gotta like feel bad for her.
I do need to know how they got clearance to film in that hospital so fast.
Oh, that's interesting. It didn't really feel like it was like the main hospital room.
No, like but it was like the ER, right? Maybe?
Maybe.
I don't know how, I'm not sure how hospitals in
like
different
this,
places
the set
work.
Of Grey's Anatomy felt a little more like a legit hospital.
But it was, like I was like, wow, the cameras in here are shocking.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel bad. It's like, it just doesn't feel like equal playing field. If they do Paradise, assuming Rachel somehow, you know, unless she pulls out, you never know who's going to win. If she doesn't, I think, and if they do Paradise, which it's up in the air, it hasn't been confirmed or denied whether they're doing it or not, I think she could be one of those people who, like, becomes the Bachelorette of Paradise. Like, I think there's a side of Rachel we haven't gotten to see, and I think that's because Maria got so much screen time.
Yeah.
Daisy got so much in the beginning, and now Kelsey A is kind of getting the, like, dark horse screen time that I don't think they gave Rachel a fair shot for the audience to even really be rooting for her. So I kind of hope we get to see more of her because she does seem great. It just doesn't seem like it's Joey's the guy for her.
Yeah, I feel like there's a big disconnect between the two of them. And I'm honestly genuinely shocked she did get the overnight portion of the date. I really did think he was not going to ask her. Yeah.
I only think it's because she went first. So that makes me think they did film it in the right order or something because I think he would have eliminated her. Because that's one thing we've seen a lot of Bachelors do is eliminate around this time because it's like, I don't need it. And then kind of the final two, if they feel really strongly about. And then it just also was like, I feel like it sealed everything when he said like, see you soon. And she was like, see ya, hun. I was like, it ain't here. It ain't it. It's
one,
not there.
One thing I will say about all three of these women, their morning afters have been the most realistic thus far.
I know. I love it. Watching Joey carry his duffel bag.
Yeah.
Like that looked like it could like hold a bowling ball in it. Like, was it like, it was just, that felt very, I feel like they don't usually show that. Like,
no.
Watching him pack up, like, gotta take my toothbrush, bye Kelsey, gotta go to Daisy. Like, that felt like oh, we're letting, we all know, but it was, kind of made me laugh that he, had to pack his own bag.
Yeah, and Kelsey's hair, girly, we've all been there. Someone definitely told her to put it down, but in the back there. But you know what? We saw it, and I was like, oh, relatable queen.
I really like Kelsey.
I do, me too.
I think they've done it feels like they hit her on purpose. They wanted it to be, this plot twist, you guys didn't see it coming, almost Daisy was a red herring. I don't know if Kelsey A wins, but that's now it's because I was so convinced Daisy won.
Yeah.
And now I think that they just did a good job keeping Kelsey A in the back, and now watching them make out, we're jumping ahead, but that kitchen counter makeout scene the morning after for Daisy and Kelsey A. Woo! I mean, Kelsey and Daisy. For Joey and Kelsey A, I was like, damn.
I had, last time I was on here, we discussed, I said Kelsey A is my dark horse coming out of here, and I feel like that was a really great foreshadowing for myself. So I will give myself a little pat on the back for that one, because here we are.
There you go. Before we jump completely into Kelsey A's date, I want to backtrack a little bit and talk about two things. One was how much play Charity got during the episode. So in the beginning, Joey talks about how stressed he is because he's trying to fully let go and give these women his heart, but he's worried because there's still three of them. And I admire that in him. And he just keeps repeating two things. One, that he really thought Charity was going to pick him. And granted, it's been a while. There's been a couple seasons in between. I don't totally remember how it played out, but I don't remember thinking Joey was going to win.
Yeah, I agree with that statement.
Just they're turning that up a little bit.
Yeah, and him saying he's only been in love with one other person.
Right.
I don't know. You're right. It's very interesting, his emotional state at this part of the game.
And I think that they're trying to trick us because they want us to think that the person he's only ever been in love with is Charity, because they talk about her so much. But then he brings up a woman from Hawaii.
Yes.
That, he said, kind of made him know what love is and have to decide when he was going to say something. It felt like they were editing that to be one person, but not actually, because they mentioned Charity by name. They did include the woman name in Hawaii, but it also felt like maybe he was talking about this woman from Hawaii the whole time, and then they were Frank inviting Charity's name into some of it, because it really felt kind of out of nowhere that he was giving so much emphasis on his connection with Charity. And that then, but only having been in love once. That does not add up.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Charity is, living her best life.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel the narrative, had its time at the beginning of his season. Yeah. Whereas, we should be leaving that in the past.
It didn't feel necessary to me. And I felt like he was talking about this other woman. But because we don't know her, they were trying to, make it Charity to make us care. I don't know. The whole thing, I know that doesn't completely make sense, but the whole thing just felt a little off to me. And then the Golden Bachelor women.
I'm very happy you brought this up.
We need to dissect them. Few things to say. Leslie, Susan, and Sandra, the women didn't know them. Gary's season of Golden Bachelor had not aired when they were filming this.
Yes.
So when they are walking up to them and they have to pretend to be excited to get advice from these women, they have no idea who they are. Why do we think they were chosen?
I don't even want to answer that. I want to say, why do we need to have this at all?
Oh, okay.
I don't think that there needed to be a conversation between the Golden Bachelor. And I loved the Golden Bachelor and I love the Golden Bachelor women. It was just uncomfortable to me. They were like, I feel like you're my daughter. I'm talking to you like I'm talking to my daughter. We just had a hometown last week. I don't know if I feel like I needed this again.
Okay, fair.
Overall, but I'm not sure. I know. To answer your original question, the Leslie one seemed a little pointed to me, giving the runner-up vibes. I'm so torn between Kelsey A and Daisy. But it's is that a foreshadowing? But how could it be?
It felt bold, in my opinion, of ABC to bring in Leslie. Who, granted, let's think this is November when they're filming this, right? Golden Bachelor filmed in January, October. November-ish. So she's still fresh off this Gary split.
Yeah.
This is November. Now, I might be a little off with the months, but it's fresh in her mind still, that everything that was happening with Gary. And she gave off I'm still bitter, still upset vibes to me.
Right. I agree.
At first I was like, oh, this is beautiful. They're talking about the loss of their mothers at a young age. Maybe they did have specific reasons they picked these women. I was like, one, could it be, are they our leads for front runners for Golden Bachelorette? Are they trying to make sure that they're in the zeitgeist? But back then, did they know we're gonna have a Golden Bachelorette? Were they just these women, we were gonna go the funny route with Susan and Sandra, and then we're gonna bring in Leslie for a little bit of drama? But to me, it almost felt like ABC sabotaging their own show, bringing in Leslie, who made it very clear that she was not happy with Gary. In case you didn't watch the Golden Bachelorette, Gary was the runner-up. I mean, Leslie was the runner-up for Gary. He got engaged to Teresa. they got married, and Leslie, at the After the Final Rose, made it very clear that Gary told her, basically, in the fantasy suite that he was going to pick her. Then Teresa's fantasy suite happened after hers, and he changed his mind. So to put her at the fantasy suites, where she will be talking about something that triggered her,
yeah,
with Kelsey A, it almost, and it worked, clearly, but, like, was that the point? Did they want Kelsey A to spiral? Were they just thinking this could be drama? Were they like, Leslie, you know, had a bad ending, let's give her a little bit of, like, redemption? Like, the whole thing to me was just confusing. It felt like they were sabotaging Kelsey A.
I'm wondering, you know, obviously we can't go back in time, but I'm wondering if Kelsey A wouldn't have had this spiral, the note, if this wouldn't have transpired, if she switched, say that Sandra talked to Kelsey A and then Leslie talked to Daisy. Like, it's very, you're right, it is a very confusing, and now, and, you know, it makes me as a viewer think, foreshadowing, question mark? Like, right. Is this what's going to happen again? And you, again, we don't know who wins. So it's like, but it's a very interesting thought.
If Kelsey A does win, maybe they brought in Leslie to then have us think, oh, this is going to be history repeating itself, or just make us have this conversation of, is it, to make it a little more speculation versus, you know, sometimes things leak out. But it's a huge risk because it got in her head so much.
Yeah.
And did they want that? Because it's drama. But then are you risking your happy ending for the sake of, like, one cliffhanger?
Which, yes.
Right.
Yeah, the answer to that is yes.
And Kelsey A has taken Instagram, and she posted, Leslie helped me realize regardless the outcome, I will be okay. I am so thankful for our talk. Please, please be kind. Because if you head over to Leslie's comments today, it is so many people writing, how dare you, sabotage, sabotage. And I would never take to Leslie's comments and say that because I'm not insane. But my initial instinct when I watched the episode was, this feels not fair to get in Kelsey A's head like this. And it's not even Leslie's fault. It's the producer's fault for being, like, unleashing Leslie on Kelsey A.
I think a lot of it came from the mother connection, from the producer's mind. And it ended up, I think it backfired on the producers. Like, maybe. I think they wanted to connect in terms of, like, oh, here's a good maternal figure for Kelsey to speak to. They have this in common, this sad thing in common, and maybe it'll be really good for her to have this conversation. And then it ended up being, you know, completely different.
So you're playing devil's advocate that the producers thought it would be good to bring them together and didn't realize Leslie was going to be so better.
Yes. I think that that's a good other way to think about it, because if you think about how the other two conversations went, they were both extremely positive.
Very low stakes.
Yeah. So it's like, true, maybe this was just supposed to be something that was really nice and ended up perfectly giving us drama in the end.
Okay. That's something to consider. In the Susan and Sandra front, it was just kind of funny. I feel like they both were just like, fantasy suites, go get him, honey. Like, lead with sex. Like, really lay it on.
Rachel's like, oh, what a great person to talk to about this, Susan. I'm like, all right, Rachel, go off, queen.
She's like, who is this Christian or lookalike that's giving me makeout advice? And then Sandra, I didn't know. I forgot that she, I guess, was had it in her. But she literally told Daisy to plant one on her man, and Daisy listened.
If you had asked me at the beginning of this episode which hometown or which fantasy suite date was going to be the steamiest, I would not have said Daisy's. And there was a shower, and there was the kissing, and the one more thing, and there's the making out. It was like, I was like, oh my God.
And
right.
They showed them in bed, like, intertwined, where they showed Kelsey A and him making bacon.
No, I'm like, Daisy said, this is what the preview is for later.
Sandra said, Daisy, go give it to him. And she said, okay, Sandra, you're my queen, you're my mom, I'm listening to you.
Yeah, literally.
Kelsey A's date, obviously, we started on a boat. Kind of crazy to watch them jump into water again. A little bit of PTSD, yeah, after we just watched what happened to poor Rachel. Joey keeps telling Kelsey how much he missed her. He keeps complimenting her natural hair. It's the small things. It was very interesting and telling to see them connect again.
The difference between Joey and Kelsey A and Joey and Rachel is so telling when you see the difference in those dates, like, back to back. Like, I don't even know. And this is, and I want, you know what? I do want to give a shout out to Kelsey A's hair. For someone who lives in New Orleans all year round, I don't even know how she does it with her hair in the summer. So good for you, girl. Cause I could
well,
never.
She's beautiful.
No, stunning. But the hair, I think of what my hair would look like in the heat.
I think she owns it. I think that's the difference.
Which I love. That's what I'm saying. Good on you. I could never.
Yeah. Well, we see Joey kind of, this whole season, he's kind of said, like, he's going to save I love you till the end. And he sticks to that for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, there's always the bachelor lore of I'm falling. Or no, I could see myself falling. I'm falling. I'm falling in love. And I love you.
Yeah.
Those are like the four stages of grief of love in Bachelor Nation, right? And he, you know, has has made it pretty clear that he is worried about hurting someone and himself. And so I kind of thought he was going to do no L words, but he decided falling in love was appropriate. Level 3, he felt like he could go to a level 3. And he did that after Kelsey A went to level 4 and said, I love you.
Yeah.
And I did recently talk to Joey at the Women Tell All, and I will have a lot more from my Women Tell All virtual junket that I did next week, because a lot of it is still under embargo since, you know, that spoiler, the Women Tell All taped already. I wasn't there, but I did speak to a handful of people on Zoom afterwards. And I asked Joey, and I can air this clip now since this part aired, what was he thinking when Kelsey A said it, and why was now the time for him to say his first falling in love with you? And here is what Joey told me.
You've done a great job, Joey, of balancing giving validation and also trying to, you know, not say maybe too much because you're not, you know, you're trying to figure this all out. But we did see you in that Kelsey A overnight, just come out and say it. I'm falling in love with you too. What was it about that moment that you couldn't hold it in anymore? And when did you know you were falling in love with her?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that with Kelsey, when she expressed that she was in love with me, you go back to the last time she really started expressing things, were almost back to Montreal. Like, we were going a lot off of feelings, but there wasn't really words being exchanged. So I did hold it in for a while. We both agree, like, when she was falling in Montreal, I was falling too. And then I got to the point, like, I never said it to her because I wanted to be intentional with my words. But it was really after our second one-on-one in Jasper, how just great that day was, how much we were starting to continue to see things move forward and not take any steps back. That was when I kind of truly knew that I was falling in love with her. But as always, it's like, it's a feeling. It takes time for you to feel comfortable to share those words, and there needs to be the right space, and you need to think everything through. I think you can see through this whole entire journey how much it's a very tough in between to be aware of what you're saying without being closed off, because they sometimes go hand in hand. So people saw me struggle through that. I was really trying to be honest and open, but I didn't want to say things until it had the right time and the right weight.
Okay, so he definitely feels that there's a difference between the falling in love and in love, and he wanted to save falling in love, or he wanted to save in love till the end. But when I watched him tell Kelsey A that he was falling in love with her, and when I asked him this question, I didn't know he was going to tell Daisy too.
Yeah.
Did that surprise you?
It surprised me that he did it twice. Yes, 100%. And it also surprised me that he pretty much regurgitated his same conversation with both of them twice.
It did kind of feel like that, right?
Yeah.
I did think it was funny in the Daisy, to jump into the Daisy part, because I feel like we've kind of touched on like the highlights of all the dates throughout our conversation. I thought it was interesting that he like apologized for his saying like, I feel the same.
Wait.
I didn't think that was a bad answer.
He said, I word vomited back. Like, did you not mean it? Like, I'm confused. Like, I don't know if I liked that he said it that
way. I don't either. I also think, like, we've seen, you know, historically here in your Gilmore Girls, maybe more scripted stuff, you have people say, thank you. Or, like, walk away when someone says, I love you. Like, him saying, I feel the same way. As The Bachelor, I thought it was actually a good answer. Like, that's, like, enough validation without getting caught with your tail between your legs being like, you told me you loved me.
Yeah.
So I thought that was, like, okay, but I thought it was interesting. He apologized for it twice. Felt, like, insecure about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a great response, and I think he was overthinking himself in that moment.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I also think that, you know, it was interesting. Joey this whole time has kind of been saying his biggest fear is, like, the woman's not going to love him the same way back. And then he kind of expanded on that a little bit in this episode, saying, like, I'm nervous people are going to be in love with, like, the Bachelor Joey, not Joey.
Yeah.
And that's, like, 100% what happened. So I'm a little worried about him.
Well, here's what I think. I was saying this today at one point while we were sitting at our desks, that the three of them have such different loves. Like, Joey and Rachel have, like, a fun, loving relationship. Him and Kelsey A are, like, steamy. Yeah, passionate. And then him and Daisy, I feel, are real. Like, they both, you know, have these fears about falling in love, and they're so honest about them. And it's just like, so it's crazy to me how different the three of them are, that that's why I'm so conflicted overall in the ending.
That's a good point. I think that's fair. And I think especially between Kelsey A and Daisy, I felt like Daisy's been the front runner this whole time. And then now, is it like, was Kelsey A hidden from us, or is it like this chemistry that he can't get over with Kelsey A? But like, is he going to be conflicted about that being the safe choice? Because Daisy and him seem to have a lot in common, but like, he has this passion with Kelsey A. Not that he doesn't have things in common with her, but we've seen more of his like serious talks with Daisy. Yeah. And then a little bit with Kelsey A with some of the stuff like with her mom, which he's done a great job navigating as well. But obviously Kelsey A is having the spiral, tale as old as time, but she opts to leave this note. And my favorite part about the note was that ABC, like, they showed her taping it. Obviously, they are writing it. They knew she was doing this, the producers. But then they showed us the security cam footage. Like, that was clearly a conscious choice, because are they trying to make us think, like, one, they didn't know what was happening, so all they have of it, like, clearly they filmed her walking up and doing it. Like, don't act like you didn't have the guy with the camera over his shoulder and the boom mic following her in. Or is it just because it, like, makes it more, like, organic that they show it that way? Like, I was just laughing that they aired the security camera.
No,
footage.
Like, we can't get a cameraman up there, but someone got her an envelope. Like, she didn't just have an envelope, like, yeah. So, but we can't get a cameraman up to watch her. Yes, no, I understand.
Like, obviously, they filmed it.
Right.
Like, and, like, did they show it that way to make it, like, boots on the ground, like, behind the scenes, like, you guys are seeing real-life Joey's response? Because Joey's response was also interesting. He kind of starts to spiral himself.
Yeah.
We need to talk again, as he said, usually isn't an indication of, like, I got great news, buddy.
Yeah.
But I also felt like in that moment, they tried to make it seem like he was upset with Kelsey A, but I think he was mad at the producers.
Yeah, I agree.
He said, I didn't talk to her. I didn't expect to see the note. What could this mean? This is my worst nightmare. I'm over it. I felt like he was ranting to the producers, like, I feel like you guys are screwing with me. And, like, I'm not cool with this.
That's why I think he's the realest bachelor. Because he, I feel like, is putting his anger, like, where it needs to be. Yeah. But another thing I love that the producers do is when they do the juxtaposition of Joey being off of his three fantasy suites, being like, I have no fears. Yeah. I know what I'm doing. And then in, like, the next clip, Kelsey A's, I'm afraid. I'm spiraling. I'm writing my note. It's, like, it's so iconic, the juxtaposition, because you're like, oh, my God, this is just so much.
As the episode ended, I was like, this is so stupid, and I love it so much.
No, I love it. I will never be over the elevator camera, the hallway camera footage, I think, for as long as I live.
I think so, too. I honestly thought it was a brilliant episode of television, and it just makes you think, like, it really feels like The Bachelor's back in some degree, and I don't know where they go from here, because I feel like it's going to be hard to, like, keep that going, because they had such a rough patch, but this episode just felt like quintessential Bachelor, and I go back to saying, like,
yeah,
it was fantasy suites, it was overnights, but it felt like that cheesy, the good things about it versus the, like, I just cannot get over the fact that we let Zach call it sex week.
Or,
like,
that Clayton put everyone on blast.
Right. And it was just, like, it felt, like,
it was,
dirty.
Like, it was really gross to me.
Or back when, like, they made Peter Weber's girls all stay in the same hotel together.
Yeah.
During Fantasy Suite Week and, like, have to watch them all come home after spending the night with him. Like, that was really not okay.
I feel like it was his fault because of the windmill.
You think, oh, because Peter became, like,
Yeah. I feel like that's where we put the blame on Peter Weber. Love you,
or
Peter
Weber. Hannah Brown, who I really love, and that season was iconic, but her saying...
The windmill is...
Four times.
I just feel like that was the first time we were all like, oh my God.
Like,
and
we're
then,
openly admitting it.
And then it just kept going from there.
Yeah, maybe. That is interesting. And, like, no fault to any of these people.
No,
we
of
all know. It's just the way they choose to edit it, I thought, felt very classic Bachelor to me, which I enjoyed.
Also, live your best lives. No shaming here.
I'm not shaming
we
here.
Don't care.
No, I literally don't care. I just think it's funny to, like, that this felt, like, so much less, like, in our face about it, whereas other seasons lately, they've been, like, they had sex, and it was like, oh, like, I don't know. This felt a little, like, classic Bachelor to me.
Yeah, the shoes edit is a good, like, little
right.
Easter
yeah.
egg in there, yeah.
Anything else from the episode that we didn't tackle?
I don't think so, but I am looking forward to Women Tell All.
Oh, what do you want answered?
Honestly, anything that Sydney would like to share. I have a prediction, and I feel she is going to address the online bullying.
Sydney?
Yes.
Okay.
From her and Maria's. Like, fight. I feel like she did get a lot of hate, which, like, internet hate is never okay. Then we've discussed the fight at length, but I think she's going to address that a lot. And I'm hoping that maybe watching it back, she understands some of what other people are thinking of and what went wrong between her and Maria and where they maybe can meet an impasse.
Okay.
Who's to say?
What do you think the reception to Maria is going to be? Do you think the women are going, do you think there's any possible resolution? Because you have to think about it in the fact that, one, they've all watched it all back, which if they are watching it, they're probably just as confused as we are. They know more, but as viewers, it doesn't really make sense. But Maria's gotten so much love, so much whatever. Do they just come in and we're like, we're sorry, Maria, we love you, to try to get, like, on that? Or are they going to be jealous? Are there, it could, is there any way to have a resolution with Maria and the other women? Because America loves Maria so much.
I don't know. It's hard because I like Maria, and I know like a lot of people do like Maria, but those women like don't like her, which I can't seem to find out, why. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if people watching it back and like seeing her hometown and hearing like her story and everything, like
it,
if they're like
her a little bit,
if they're like, okay, we get it, like we're sorry, I feel like it's gonna be split.
It needs to be a mutual, like I think Maria needs to say sorry for like feeling like that she made them feel the type of way, and they need to say sorry for like attacking Maria for kind of no reason, because again, we don't really know what happened, but it feels like there has to be a little bit of fault on both sides, and then maybe the producers say sorry to all of us.
Always
they won't, but I do think that it should be interesting to watch because there's a lot of like unsaid things that happened on this season. So if this was Andy Cohen, I know we'd get to the bottom of it. Jesse Palmer, don't disappoint me.
I'm telling you, the Sydney thing I need more clarity on, because per the Almost Famous podcast with Ashley I and Ben Higgins, like Sydney said there was stuff that wasn't aired to Ashley. If you don't know, they're friends in real life. I feel like you've talked about this, but I just want to know like what's missing? Like, was there something genuinely 100% missing that we need to know that's the missing piece of the puzzle? Because from Sydney's perspective, there was, and I would like to know what it is.
All right. I think that's a good place to leave it. It's to be continued on the episode of The Bachelor and on Here for the Right Reasons, because we will have intel from the Women Tell All next week. I'm excited to see if we get any resolution, and then to lead into Joey's dramatic finale. I'm very excited.
I think
there's a lot brewing in Bachelor Nation. I hope they make maybe a Golden Bachelorette announcement at some point.
That's all I want.
I don't know who I'm even rooting for. I don't really think I'm rooting for Leslie anymore.
I don't think so either.
I don't know why.
I don't know either.
Who's the one who left early? Joan?
Yeah.
I think I want Joan. Anyway, let me know who you want to be the Golden Bachelorette and what you are thinking. Women Tell All predictions, Joey finale predictions. Leave it all in the comments of my Instagram at Sarah Herron. And I will see you next week for another episode of Here for the Right Reasons.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.